Well, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 will be camped out at verse 32 this morning. Ephesians 4, 32. Yes, yes, yes. Randall Davis. Yes, my beautiful wife, Angel. Yes, she is amazing. I did use the word, my wife is a beast this morning during first service. Let me just help you guys, all right? That's actually a compliment. It's a compliment, right? So that means she's great. She's great. She's great. Awesome. She handled the kids this morning, got them all here. I got a great family. I'm glad that you guys will get to meet them after service today. And so, yes, six children, three boys, three girls, Gabrielle, Randall, Righteous, Royal, Hannah, and Elena, all last name Davis. And fun fact about my family is that it's eight of us in the home, so we have four left-handers. Shout out all the lefties in the room. You know, that's rare. I always think that's rare. You know, it's like, you know, all the lefties, man, you know. So we got to eat differently, you know what I'm saying, when we at the table. So everybody is like each other, like everyone, whatever that word is. But, yeah, and so we sit every other. That's what it is. So it's good to have my family here. The Mission City Squad is here. If you guys throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Yeah, it's not everybody, but we got some joining. I see my friends and family here as well. It's good to see the Gospel City family as well. You guys have been praying for me, and I've been getting text messages. It's all good. It's all good, man. I'm glad to be here with you all and be able to proclaim God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. If you got it, say, got it. If you don't, say, hold up. It's always one. It's always one. It was one for a service, too. So it's one. We'll give you a couple more seconds there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. A very long passage of scripture this morning. Some of you got that. Went right over your head. Ephesians 4, 32 reads this way. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. I'll read it again. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Let's ask the Lord for his help this morning. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, for your presence. Lord, my prayer is simply this, that you just remove me, Randall Davis, and you show yourself strong. And allow your words, not my words, your words to penetrate the hearts of your people this morning. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In 2019, it was the case heard around the world. A police officer by the name of Amber Geiger was on trial for the accidental murder of a young entrepreneur named Botham John. If you haven't heard of this case, I encourage you to look it up because what you will find should encourage you as a believer. This case was extremely emotional in both the believer and the unbeliever communities. However, the trial took an interesting turn at the announcement of her verdict. Amber Geiger was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the mistaken identity of the murder of Botham John. The African-American community was in an uproar. Justice was only partially served in their eyes. And they wanted to see this lady put away for a lot longer than that. But in the middle of all of this chaos, watch this. The brother of the deceased takes a stand and does something that shocks the world. He stands up. And he openly forgives her for taking the life of his brother and states that he is praying for her and he loves her. Later, when asked this question, how could you show so much remorse towards your brother's killer? His response, I am a Christian. And this is what Christ would have done for her. And who am I not to offer the same forgiveness to someone just as broken as I am? I just love the response of our dear brother in Christ. In a time of hurt, and confusion and being blindsided. His response in so many words is, this is what Christians do. We forgive. If I am to call myself a follower of Jesus Christ, then this is the behavior that is expected. You can bank on the Gospel City that as in our sinful nature, as broken people, every relationship that you have, sin has permeated that relationship. And because of that, forgiveness is on the table. Forgiveness is on the table. So the question that lingers in this room is this one. How are we currently handling forgiveness in our own lives? How do you handle that dad that walked out on you in a tender moment of your life? How do you forgive that? How do you forgive the ex who wronged you? Yes, you weren't the perfect spouse, but they betrayed you and they violated you. How do you forgive that person? How do you treat that boss who is passive-aggressive, who orchestrates a no-win situation? How do you forgive that person? How do you handle that person you had a deal with and they reneged on their promises? How do you forgive that person? How do you relate with that great friend of yours who has gossiped about you, who has lied on you? How do you forgive that person? How do you handle an unforgiving heart? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I believe Paul has outlined the process of forgiveness for us in three ways. Just three ways, and I'm going to share those three ways, and I'm going to take my seat. Paul is going to show us how we need to set the atmosphere. Number two, Paul is going to show us how we need to give the gift of forgiveness. And number three, Paul is going to show us how we need to model the Savior. Model the Savior. For context purposes, Paul is writing to a group of believers and communicating to them that as believers, there is a way to conduct yourselves. There is a way. And at the very end of this chapter, we land right here at our text this morning. Paul starts off and says, be kind and be kind, setting the atmosphere. Paul says to be kind. In its original meaning, kindness here encompasses helpfulness, warm-heartedness, and a willingness to show goodness from the heart. I'll read that again. Kindness here encompasses helpfulness, warm-heartedness, and a willingness to show goodness from the heart. In other words, believers are not to be known for a harsh attitude. Help us, Lord. But what we have to understand is this. Being kind as a believer doesn't just happen out of thin air. You don't just get saved and receive Jesus Christ and all of a sudden become kind. It doesn't just poof, you're kind. You have to be in an active relationship with the Lord Jesus, which means you have to communicate with him. You have to spend time with him, and you have to be close to Jesus. You got to do it. You got to spend time. And I love that kindness just made the list on the fruits of the Spirit right here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. It's on the screen. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Here it is, kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law was not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul is writing in this section of Scripture, describing what it looks like to be in the flesh versus the Spirit. He's writing what it means to be in the flesh versus the Spirit. So if you are operating in the flesh, the fruit of that is anger and all sorts of evil things. But if you are operating in the spirit, you get the opposite. Let me say it this way. There are times in my life where I know I need to go spend some time with the Lord. I'm noticing myself to be very short-tempered, or there's sometimes I'm easily bothered. I'm angry. I'm sharp. Ever been there? Don't raise your hands. Do not raise your hands. But in those times, I do have to stop and ask myself, Randall, did you spend time with the Lord today? Did you? Did you spend time with Jesus today? Have you allowed his presence to overwhelm you? Because if you did, then most likely, in spite of your sinful nature, your character will reflect that of Christ. Paul starts this process of forgiveness by saying, we need to be kind. And that doesn't just happen out of thin air. You got to get with the Lord and allow to see that fruit of kindness. But he also says, not just we need to be kind, he says kind and compassionate. If you're reading the ESV, which I know this probably is an ESV church, you see tender-hearted, but I like compassionate better. So we in the CSV. So compassionate, biblical definition right here. In essence, biblical compassion is a powerful force that moves believers to respond to the suffering of others with empathy, action, and a reflection of God's own merciful nature. Let me read that again. In essence, biblical compassion is a powerful force that moves believers to respond to the suffering of others with empathy, action, and a reflection of God's own merciful nature. The account of scripture where the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, paints a much clearer picture of compassion. It may be on the screen, but if it's not, Luke chapter 10, meet me there, verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. I'll give you a quick moment there. I'm not going to wait for that person that said hold up. Luke chapter 10, quickly, 25 through 37 reads this way. Then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He asked him. How do you read it? He answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, he told him. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him. They beat him up and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, on his journey, came up to him. And when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. Compassion. Being willing to offer yourself to be in a situation of someone else's suffering, all for the glory of the Lord. Here's the issue. Too many people use their personality bent as an excuse for unkindness. People say, well, I'm an introvert, so I can be unkind. I don't like talking to people. That's just part of my personality. I don't like to have conversations. I can come off as unkind, but you got to get to know me. Paul is saying this is not personality driven. These are Christian characteristics, and we need to grow in these things. So the first thing we need to do is set the atmosphere, and secondly, we need to give the gift. And we'll spend most of our time here. Give the gift and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. There's over 60 one another's in the New Testament, and we got two here. So what's a twofer? But check this out. The atmosphere is set, but pay attention to the verse. Kindness and compassion sets the stage to be able to give the gift of forgiveness. Are you with me? The atmosphere is set, but pay attention to the verse. Kindness and compassion sets the stage to be able to give the gift of forgiveness. You're like, Randall, what are you talking about here? The gift of forgiveness. I'm about to show you because you ask good questions on a Sunday morning. Be kind, compassionate, forgiving one another. Be kind, compassionate, forgiving one another. However, I don't want us to miss this very significant point here. In the New Testament, the primary word that is used for forgiveness is this, aphiemi. If you don't know, now you know. There is, the New Testament is written in a language called Greek. I know I'm at Gospel City. I'm sure I'm talking to somebody who already knows this. But it's written in Greek, and the word that's usually used for forgiveness is aphiemi, which means to leave or to put away, to leave or to put away. But here in this text, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the text, the word forgiveness is translated differently. The word here for forgiveness is translated to haritzomai. Haritzomai is the original language here, which means grace given freely or to show favor. So if you are baptized in kindness and compassion, then forgiveness is not so much of an obligation as it is a kindness to extend. It's a gracious thing. Give the gift of forgiveness as a favor. And it's a shadow of the grace of God that has been poured out for us on the cross, as we talked about earlier. So we don't view it as an obligation. Well, I got to forgive, so I'm just going to say the words. I have to forgive. This is what I just need to do. I don't really mean it, but I'm just going to say these things. No. It comes from a heart that is predisposed through the heart of the Savior. You give the gift of forgiveness. There's a quote by Crawford Rich that says this: to withhold the gift of forgiveness is to deny the power of the gospel. Did you hear that? To withhold the gift of forgiveness is to deny the power of the gospel. Let me illustrate it this way. Years ago, I'm 41 years old. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 18 years old. And at the time, I had a good friend of mine who did something to me that I, at the time, thought was a very unforgivable offense. I was like, I'm not rocking with this dude no more. There's no way I'm going to continue life knowing this brother. I'm done. This person has caused so much hurt in my life. And even as he continued to reach out to me over and over and over again, I just let, you know what? I need more time. I just need more time. And a brother of mine, another brother of mine, contacted me. He was like, he said, Fonte, which is my middle name. Randall Fonte Davis Jr. is my full name. And so I'm a junior, so you can blame my parents for that name. Randall Fonte Davis Jr., but then I also named my son Randall. He's Randall Fonte Davis III. So you can blame me for his name. He said, Fonte, what you're trying to sanctify our inability to forgive. That's what he said to me. What does that say about the gospel, Fonte? What does that say about the power of God to change you? And here in this text, it's more than implied that when I withhold the gift of forgiveness, what I am saying is that the gospel is not sufficient. It's not powerful. It cannot change my heart. It cannot change other people's heart. It cannot bring healing. So we need to think about that. If I am withholding forgiveness, what I am actually saying is that the gospel can't change me. That my right to get even and my right to cherish and nurture and coddle the offense is more important than the one I say that I believe. So having said that, that is core, that the forgiveness is a gift of grace. That's a tough word. We gotta move. Let me just differentiate real quick between what forgiveness is not and what forgiveness is. What forgiveness is not and what forgiveness is. If you're taking notes, write these things down, just a couple of things. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not forgetting. While forgiveness may involve letting go of resentment, it doesn't necessarily mean forgetting the hurt altogether. This is a process. Forgiveness is not condoning the offense. Forgiveness doesn't imply that the harm done was okay or justified. That's not what it is. For forgiveness, it is not reconciliation. While forgiveness is often a prerequisite for reconciliation, it doesn't automatically lead to it. Reconciliation is a positive outcome, but forgiveness is possible if reconciliation isn't achieved. Forgiveness is not an excuse for the harm. Forgiveness acknowledges the wrong, but it doesn't excuse it or diminish its impact. The last one, forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is not weakness. It actually takes strength to forgive. It takes a whole lot of strength to forgive. So you got to put on the Lord. It's not weakness. What forgiveness is, though? Forgiveness is releasing my right to get even. Releasing my right to get even. God says, vengeance is mine, not yours. You have to release that right to get even. Entrusting myself to God's love, power, and plan. You got to go vertical. You got to get with the Lord, because I'm telling you right now, there are people right now that said things to me where I'm just like, man, let's just go step outside real quick. Don't take nobody outside. Do not say step outside. That's why you got to go vertical, because I'm telling you, there's time. Yeah, me, Pastor Randall, hey, step outside real quick. Don't say step outside real quick. No. Go vertical. Get with the Lord in this. And number three, forbearance. Forgiveness is forbearance. Fancy word here. The ability to show restraint, the ability to let things go. Some of us just got to let things go. Got to let it go. If you are constantly offended by stuff, you got to think about this. How many gospel opportunities are you missing because you're just harboring on the offense all day? As a believer, ask yourself that question. You got to get to a place in your walk, in your relationship with God, where circumstances no longer dictate your spiritual response. But God does. And some stuff you just have to say, I'm going to let this go. Y'all with me this morning? I know it's tough. Y'all can talk back to me. It's all good. So we're set. Set the atmosphere is set. Set the atmosphere. be kind, compassionate. You give the gift of forgiveness. And thirdly, we need to model the Savior. Model the Savior. Here's the standard. Just as God also forgave you in Christ. This is huge. Just as God also forgave you in Christ. Two quick observations here. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the lifestyle to which we are to conform, not what Jesus can do for me. Let me read that again. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the lifestyle to which we are to conform, not what Jesus can do for me. Yes, I can go through all the benefits of what following Jesus can bring, but Christianity at its core is a crucified life. Paul says it better in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And yes, I put the King James Version on here because I love the language here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Meaning that, look, I identify with Jesus. And how did Jesus handle offenses, which is the second observation? What God has done in Christ for us is to govern our behavior and responses when we are offended by others. The writer of Hebrews says it this way, that he endured the cross, despised the shame, the ridicule, the rejection, the lies, the torture. What has he forgiven us of? What did Jesus forgive you of? Think about your life for a moment. Think about what you came from. Think about the stuff that you think that nobody knows. Did he forgive you? Did he forgive you? Yes, he did. Can you, by the power of the Spirit of God, then, therefore with humility, in the same degree of grace, forgive another? What Paul is saying here, it's masterful writing. Masterful writing. The way we read this last clause in this text causes us to look back at the first clause. How did he forgive us in Christ? Through kindness and compassion. Through kindness and compassion. Not as a result that we have done, but according to his mercy. Can we be gracious to others and offer the gift of forgiveness? I love that he uses that word here. He writes forgiveness differently than we usually read. Give the gift of forgiveness. Show favor. N.T. Wright says this quote. I don't agree with everything N.T. Wright says, but this one is dope. First, it is utterly inappropriate for one who knows the joy and release of being forgiven to refuse to share that blessing with another. Second, it is highly presumptuous to refuse to forgive one whom Christ himself has already forgiven. In other words, who are we? Who are we to withhold forgiveness to somebody else when we and our broken selves have already been forgiven by Christ? If you have been forgiven in Christ, and if you're a believer, you have. Who are we to withhold that from someone else, no matter the offense? Oh, we got it wrong. Four suggestions coming from all of this. Just four. If we know that we have not forgiven someone, the very first thing I want to suggest here is that we need to decide to forgive. we need to decide to forgive. I understand that forgiveness is a mountain to climb in our broken state. It is, it's tough. It's tough. You're like, man, I'm hurt. I'm bothered by this. It is hard for me to say these words. I don't even like this person. You got to decide to forgive. You got to remember who you are in Christ and what you came from and how you are washed by the blood of Jesus. Decide to forgive. Don't wait for your feelings to catch up with you because they never will. Number two, express your forgiveness. Express your forgiveness. If someone has hurt you and someone has done something wrong to you, don't just say in private, God, I forgive them, and just go on. Go see them. If you can't eyeball to eyeball, have that conversation and let them know, I forgive you. Those words are powerful. The interaction is powerful. Try to avoid sending them a text. And if you can't text them or talk to them, maybe write a letter to them. Those words are powerful. And here's one. Maybe that person is dead and gone. I would encourage you to still write that thing down. Those words are still powerful. Put them down on paper. Release that thing. Number three, do whatever it takes to deal with the pain of this forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an automatic cure. Don't hear me say that. It's not an automatic cure. You still may need to go talk to someone and get some help over this thing that can help you get counsel through this situation. But forgiveness opens the door to healing. Listen to me. Forgiveness opens the door to healing, but it may not be the final step to your healing. And number four, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. You heard me say go vertical. Go vertical. Go vertical. And don't rehearse or empower the offense. Stop talking about it. Once you have forgiven, stop bringing it up. Stop rehearsing it. You're moving on. The number one way you know someone has not let go because they keep talking about it. Just let it go. The one who turns all this around is the Savior. None of us have the capacity to deal with the pain of life. The unpredictable nonsense that takes place regularly in life. People even close to us deeply. How do we deal with that? Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We got to go vertical. It's coming to Jesus, and he forgives us. He will forgive us for our sin as far as the east is from the west. And all we got to do is say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I turn from my sin and I trust you as my Savior, and he will forgive us. Or here's one. It's not on the list, but here's one. Maybe you're in a spot where you're the one who did the offense and you're just hardened right now and you haven't made that healthy engagement to allow forgiveness to even, to that reconciliation to even start by saying, you know what, I'm gonna hold off. I don't know what, whatever excuse it may be. I'm going to encourage you as well to ask the Lord to search your heart and Lord, give me a space to bring this to the table. And I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to spend these next few moments. I want us to pray. But before I do that, I want to close this way. When you've been wounded by someone, forgiving them is not an easy thing to do. I get it. Even when we understand the importance of forgiving others as believers, forgiveness is not an easy feat. We must surrender our unforgiveness and our pain to God in prayer so that he can wash our hearts with a word of healing and restoration. Don't negate that. Prayer gives us a unique perspective as we align our thoughts and emotions with the will of God. This must happen if we truly understand how God has forgiven us. Forgiving others becomes much more of a priority to us. We got to understand how we are forgiven. It becomes much more of a priority to us as we are offering forgiveness to others. So let's start right there. There may be somebody in your life right now. You're like, man, I am struggling with forgiveness. I am in a spot where I am hardened. I don't care what Randall's saying up here. I cannot offer forgiveness. I want to invite you right now to make some space for the Lord to work on your heart. He can. Think about that person or that situation, or you're like, you know what, I don't have anybody in my life right now where this is currently going on. Maybe you know someone. Maybe you know someone who is dealing with a hardness in their heart of forgiveness. Pray for that person. Or maybe, like I said, you may be the one who's on the other side of this thing. You know that you stepped on this person's toes in a way where they're like, you know what? I need to go say, man, will you forgive me, man? And if that person is still hard, at least you're planting the seed for this relationship to heal. Where are you this morning? So I want to ask you guys right now, I want to invite you to pray with me for these next few moments. I'm going to pray. And just encourage you right now to ask the Lord to search your heart. Is there some unforgiveness in there? Let's give it to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, set us free. Lord, release us, Lord, from the bondage that says that we need to get even. We place it in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven. And forgiven people, Lord, forgive people. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of that right now. And Lord, whoever that person is who we identify, Lord, help I pray, Father, for the process of healing to begin by just saying those words. I forgive you. And I pray, Father, that you bring comfort and peace to that situation. We love you, Lord. We honor you and we adore you. In Christ's name we pray.